services in association with O1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Okay. And welcome to the podcast proper. And I have with me, that's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Good morning, evening, whatever.
Robert Haynes. Robert.
Okay.
Who's that just gone? That's probably Robert. Ben Shoveler. Ben.
Hello, I was only joking. I am.
And Reese Parton.
Hello.
Reese Parton.
You've finished crying.
Oh, hello, Robert. You're there. Hello.
Yeah.
Did you not?
The call dropped out.
Oh, no, just as I said. And here's Robert Haynes.
I went.
Good grief.
No, that's what the thing did when trying to get the call back. Oh, hi, Ben.
Hello.
Hi, Reese.
Hello.
I can think
Hi, Kirby.
Shall we all
hello.
Do this?
Hi, Adam.
Hello.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Adam.
Hi, Kirby.
Hi, Adam.
Okay. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Adam.
That's as bad as the end of the show.
Hello, Rachel.
Holly.
Hello, Rachel.
I'd like to congratulate Robert for getting the name right. Right, so.
Okay.
Some sort of podcast to try and do. Right.
Do we?
Yeah.
Go outside and play this week instead of doing a podcast?
No, this is playing, sort of.
All right.
Yes.
So.
Outside, though.
Quite a lot to get through this week. I don't think it will take us that long to get through the amount we have to get through. I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to you. What do you want to do first? Do you want to do the charts? Do you want to do feedback? Do you want to do the
play
review?
Time.
Not playtime.
Charts, feedback, then review. Just the way you're listening.
Reese has spoken. It's charts first. Oh, God help us.
I was going to do feedback, charts.
There goes the next hour.
Yes, indeed. Go on, then. Let's crack on with the charts.
Okay, let me go to my specially created podcast folder.
And let me to hit the mute button so I can't interrupt you.
Yeah, mute buttons, please. Apart from Ben, obviously.
From 50 this week.
Pardon?
Now we see.
Hey?
Just for a change, if we can do the top 30 in 60 seconds.
Good grief. I don't think it'll go on then. I can try.
All right, I'm timing. Hey. So, we want no interruptions.
Okay.
Nothing rude. Nothing. No one trying.
Reading it.
We'll have no one trying to be funny because that's my job.
No, I think that's actually my job.
Really? As the kids say, and I am down with the kids in this country, epic fail. It's perfectly legal, just don't let the police know.
Oh, it must be
anyway,
funny, it's like if I'm having to explain to Alicia comedy. Like, as I said, you know, that thing. That somebody sent some feedback in last week about the original skit that me and Deb did. And said it was funny, and I said I wrote that, so I'd like to use that as an example because actually two people wrote in to say they like that.
Well, you can have me. I thought it was funny too.
Ben starts the charts.
Well, we've actually used up 45 of my 60.
Oh, no, it doesn't count. It doesn't count because you haven't started yet. Carry on.
I was about to start and use talks.
On
and
three,
stop watch.
Two. One.
At number 30, down 5, the Coldham Collective. 29 is down 6 for Sonic Toolbox. At 28, down 6 for Earth Station 1. At 27, re-entry for Untempered Schism. 26 is down 5 for the Galacast from France. 25 are down 11, a Madman with a Box. At 24, a re-entry for the Time Vaults. 23 is down 3 for Travelling the Vortex. And at 22, re-entry for Bigger on the Inside. 21 is up 9 for Talking Who. And at 20, down 4, the 2-Minute Time Lord. At number 19, down 2 for the Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. At number 18, down 7, it's Bad Will. At 17, down 7 for Doctor Who, Who's He. And number 16, a re-entry for TARDIS Tavern. 15 is a re-entry for the podcast that never ends. 14 is down 2 for Stavrian Story. But 13, a re-entry for Mostly Harmless Cutaway. Number 12, a re-entry for the Minute Doctor Who podcast. And number 11, rather disappointingly, down 2 is the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And number 10, a re-entry for the Curinoid podcast. Yeah, whatever. At number 9, Star Wars Project. Number 8, a re-entry for Adventures, Time, Space and Music. Number 7, re-entry for the Amiga Podcast. Number 6, up 1, the Impossible Podcast. Number 5, down 1 for the DW Who Cast. Number 4, down 2 for Radio Free Scar. And number 3, a non-mover for Tin Dog Podcast. And number 2, down 1 for the Doctor Who Podcast. And number 1, a re-entry for Doctor Who Podshock. There we go. How long did that take?
Woohoo! Wow, that was impressive.
But people might not hear where their podcast is, so.
Well, they could go back and listen to it.
Yeah, they'll just have to...
In slow motion.
Yeah, well, you can listen on the iPod. You can knock it down to times two.
Think about it this way, Robert. It's not that they can't hear it because we interrupted them. It's because it's going so fast.
Well, I heard it.
Okay, well, look, done it once like that. Now, should we do it, see if we can do the top 30 podcasts in 60 minutes?
We do. We normally do it.
Now, where were we? I kind of zoned out on it.
Somewhere down the bottom, which is why I read it very, very far.
Yes, number 11.
11, I think.
I think next week we should get Rachel to do the top 30.
Ooh.
Really? You think about that, Rach?
I could probably do it better than you.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah, I did.
Someone's not having any tea this evening.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Yes, and it hit her foot, and now she's crying.
So, you had some written feedback from Richard Culpe, I believe.
Yes, I did, and now all I've got to do is find it. Oh, hold on, there's one from you there. Maybe that's you from there.
Yeah,
oh, no, that's
is.
An old one.
Oh, is it?
I've got Adam commented on my status on Facebook. That's what she said.
You carry on. I've just got to fiddle around with this. Have you found it yet?
Ew. That's what she said.
I was waiting for that.
We apologise for any technical difficulties. Normal service will be resumed soon.
Magic, you stinky bugger! Or is that Star?
He always blames it on the dogs, doesn't he?
Well, he's just been to the vets, and went to the vets, right? So he have his usual injection. No, he went to the vets to have his usual injection, the booster thing that they have to have. And a couple of years ago, he had a problem with his anal scent gland, and they had to have it unblocked, so they stick their finger up his and he hates that. Anyway, but it hasn't had no problem for last year.
He might do, but the vet doesn't.
No problem for the last year after. So she says, I noticed on your notes that he had some problems with an impacted scent gland. Any problems since? No, it's been fine. I said, do you want me to check it for you? No, if it's all right, don't worry about it. So whilst I'm saying no, don't worry, there she is with her finger up his backside, his eyes bulging out of his head, not quite expecting this was going to be happening. And, it's quite fine. It's perfectly normal. I said I thought that was going to be the case because he hasn't had any problems with it the last year and a half. Now I expect he's probably going to start getting problems with it where she's messed around with it. Anyway, so I don't
story
know.
Not happy story is don't play around with people's bottoms.
Mm, but he's one of them
me.
Is let off and it stinks.
When I ended up in emergency, they did the same thing to me.
What, you said that you have problems, so they stuck their finger up your
No, they said, excuse me, I've just got to stick some fingers up your bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, okay.
I said that you hear every day, I'm sure.
can I just go now?
No, you can't. Stay where you are.
Bizarrely, that's exactly what Robert was saying.
That's what she said.
And you know, I could sing the Bee Gees very well after that.
Oh dear, I've actually sung that while I'm talking to one of my podcast co-hosts, but I'm not going to now.
Anyway, I found the email.
Oh good.
Hello, Richard.
After all that disgusting talk.
I just wanted to hear the rest of that story.
Oh, fair enough.
Have you found it?
Yeah. From Richard.
Did you like the little filling I did there while you were trying to find it?
I was as impressed as I was with Liverpool's penalty taking yesterday.
Yes. What about Cardiff's penalty taking?
Good. Oh, even I was really not impressed by that either.
Oh, dear.
I feel sorry for Cardiff.
It was
I
a brilliant game, as far as you know. Is, the fact that
wasn't Cardiff... as good as Man United Norwich. That was a belter.
No, I didn't see that. I've got that ready to watch on the Sky Plus, dude. I just watched the Arsenal Spurs game, which made me chortle. Harry Redknapp's face during the whole episode.
That was quite funny, wasn't it? Harry out! Harry out! Sack him.
Yes. I did watch both versions of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy over the weekend, and they mention you're gonna watch the match this afternoon. Foregone conclusion: Arsenal without a chance.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
I'm see there. Where you're finally seeing the light.
Yeah.
See it whenever you stop talking about it.
Yeah. Anyway. Are you ready? Are you ready then?
I've been ready since we've been talking about fingers.
Oh, hi.
Go on, then.
Which seems to be a rather recurring theme on this podcast these days. Maybe why we're down at number 11.
Richard Culpe.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Richard.
Yes. I'd start.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine. Shall I see if I can do this email in 45 seconds?
No, just read it.
No.
Grief.
He starts as he continues, you. He also continues, have. Once more. As you have taken notice on your Facebook page, I was on cloud nine. You had radio. Oh, hold on. not mentioning any other podcasts. I don't do that. That's not my bag. You had another podcast. Another podcast has two of my favourite companions as interviewed: William Russell and Fraser Hines. Any problems and worries I had evaporated as I eagerly listened to the podcast. I was feeling like a child given the choice of any candy of his choice.
Candy? What's that? Oh, sweets, isn't it?
It's sweet.
Yeah. For any Doctor Who fan, meeting or talking to the people from the show is a grand experience, but these two, for me, are near the equivalent of meeting royalty. Only a doctor could top them in sheer excitement. I owe your podcast a Greta Datitude. Greta Datitude. For that interview. Sorry, that was a tip of the slung. I owe your podcast a debt of gratitude for that interview and bringing the listeners such a great treat. The interviews also reminded me of something I was planning on doing but have yet failed to do. Last year, when Elizabeth Sladen and Nicholas Courtney died, I was painfully made aware that some of the people I had seen in my journey of watching the show from the start are quite old. This is the amazing trick of the show. We forget that the young and vibrant people we watch now are closer to 50 years old. My time to see them and say thank you is limited, and hopefully a final farewell is still years away. He continues after I've moved the email down. There we go. I'll explain in a minute. I now had a new goal to say thank you to two people, Tom Baker and William Russell. Tom Baker was the second doctor I got to see on the show and helped to make this my favourite. I got to send him a thank you through his personal website. William Russell, however, was another story, of which I'm sure he's about to embark on. I searched and failed to find a way of saying thank you. Fortunately, I was able to send him a thank you due to a personal message with Nick Briggs on the Big Finish forums. He sent me a reply to the agency William Russell uses. A simple email, and I got the reply of how to send a letter to him. This is, however, where I have also failed. I spent lots of time thinking about what I would say and write, and to be totally honest, I froze up. I just could not seem to find the right words to say thank you. How about thank you?
Thank you.
Hey, advice is
good work.
What could I say to him? Thank you. He was there at the beginning of the show. He was part of the reason the show worked and survived. He was, in effect, one of the founding fathers of the show I love. This has
58
been my
years old when he started the show too, William Russell.
He was what?
38 years old when
was
he started
really?
The show.
How old is he?
So he must be around 90 now.
Must be.
Yeah.
Grief.
His story from Big Finish that he's actually, every week he wanders off to somewhere else for a holiday and he gets back to the studio and he's smiling and really fit and tanned because of the holiday he's been on.
It's not a holiday, he's just going to talk to it.
We're not talking about magic, we're talking about William Russell.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he is magic.
Don't diss the match.
Magic.
You know, never believe it's not so. It's magic.
Anyway, which is feedback.
And I.
Oh dear, what have I done?
Well done, Maurice.
We go together like Ramalama.
I'm sorry.
Listeners, you'll be glad to hear that the rest of the feedback we have is audio. Please continue.
I think it's still interrupted.
This has been my problem for a while now, finding the proper words to say thank you and to tell him he and Jacqueline Hill are my favourite companions. Now, I have to say thank you to your podcast for reminding me that they are not the only star, that they're not only stars, but people as well. Yeah, I have that problem a lot. A lot of people just think of me as a person. I am actually a star. both of you showed me that they are. This was something I somehow lost perspective of when I began to ponder what to say to Mr. Russell. Hello, thank you. Again, it's free. The only obstacle I now have is to get a new printer so I could send him my words of gratitude. Keep up the great work. He's obviously not listened to the last few. Richard Culp.
Thank you, Richard.
Do you know, it's funny, Richard. Over, this is a slight, you're not going to believe this, a slight deviation.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I know, unbelievable. I know we don't normally do deviations away from Doctor Who or anything like that, but I think the time is now right. Wow. And yesterday evening, while I was round at my mother and father's house, we were having a tea of chicken and bacon and potatoes and stuff, food. I couldn't work out what the other stuff was, but it was in a bowl. Must have been edible. My mother was regaling us with a story of something that happened to her on Saturday, which for you in Australia would have been 4 days ago now. She was sitting on the train coming back from seeing her sister, and who should get on the train but my mother's favourite comedian, Jim Davidson.
Not Peter.
Who's that?
He's a comedian.
Yeah, not Peter.
He's my mum's.
Yes.
And he sat like a couple of rows away from her, and she was like, oh, I want to go and say, oh, well, thank you for being funny for years. And she couldn't get the bottle to.
Yeah.
So,
she said, bugger off.
No, well, he
Robert!
He didn't actually.
Just you talking.
He didn't.
Because my mother didn't get the, you know, she couldn't build up the balls to go and say hello to him. But someone else did, and he said, yeah, thanks. And then...
Tom Baker.
And then they said,
yes, thank you.
Thank you for talking to me in that manner.
Jim Davidson said that.
Yeah, that was Jim Davidson, yeah. So anyway, there's a bit of a non-story there.
No, that's a very good non-story. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have audio feedback. Now, this is the amazing thing. All the time we've been doing this podcast... We've only ever had one or two, maybe three in the early days. This week we've got six.
Six bits of audio.
Six audio feedbacks.
Wow.
Thank you.
What?
Keep it coming, but let's begin. They're not in particular order. This is from Mr. M.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast team. Mr. M here with the first of the new feature. I don't know if you'd call it feature. But this is number one of 100 things I'd like to see in the next 100 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcasts. I'm going to try and do one for every episode, but you don't record one every week. Well, I mean, sometimes you record more than one a week. So I might just miss out on a few that I can do more than one at a time. So what do I want to see in episode 101? Well...
Today.
More Alicia. Just more than before.
Sorry about that.
Sometimes you're only in it for about 40 minutes, sometimes you're not even in it at all.
Sorry.
Come on.
That's really down to her.
That. Bye now.
Thank you for that, Mr. M. Yes, Alicia, unlike you apparently, is very busy doing her GCSEs and has been a very good girl and swatting, which rather limits her availability, for podcasting. But we are trying to get a little bit of her, if we can, on every show. That's why there's a little bit of her in this one, but she's on it. In the next bit of feedback we had from Wes and Liz from the Omega podcast.
Hello, greetings to the 20 Megabyte podcast. This is Liz.
And this is Wes.
And we're with the Omega Podcast.
Hello.
And we just wanted to say congratulations on your 100th episode. Yay!
Thank you.
Hoorah!
That's pretty exciting.
100, 100 episodes. That's a big deal.
That's a big number. Do you think we'll get that far?
Oh, if we don't. I know Adam and Alicia and the whole crew over there, they do such a good job. It doesn't matter if we get to that point. So you guys have one of the best podcasts out there. I totally enjoyed listening into the countdown of the Doctor Who podcast. It's one of my favorite things to listen to, and just all your feedback. It's very good. So
it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's always an enjoyable listen, and you guys are awesome. So we just wanted to say congrats.
Thank you.
And I never stop laughing when you say the Hat Penis Patrol. So congratulations, guys.
Congrats. Cheers.
Thank you.
See, I think they're quite right there, actually. I mean, they said it's one of the best podcasts. Yeah. I'd totally agree with that. No, it's one of the best 11 podcasts this week.
Not going to
deny it. I like the Omega podcast because I've won twice on...
No,
yes.
I like the Omega podcast because of Wendell's very funny voice. And
you could stand in for him because he wasn't there for that feedback.
And he's presenting the Omega podcast. Anyway, but not on that bit of feedback, obviously, but never mind. Yes, the next bit of feedback is from Andy Nunny.
Well, good Hello, afternoon Andy. To you all. I'm just taking a break from the half-time of the Carling Cup final. Cardiff are hopefully going to carry on and beat Liverpool, because I can't stand Liverpool and Kenny Dalglish. Anyway, I was going to do something for your 100th, and I completely forgot, and I was doing things like painting and stuff like that in the house, so I never got round to it. However, you've made 100 now, so well done to you all. I think it's been great hearing the way the podcast has come on, from the early days of just Adam by himself to now the... what I think has now turned into the podcasting version of Tiswas.
How dare you!
It will mean nothing to anyone but Adam. I'm very surprised if any of the
people
I'm talking
ben.
About.
And however, me! I know what Tiswas is!
Manic editions that come out every week are very entertaining, keep me going to my generally gym and running sessions and things like that, painting as I did the other day. Thoroughly enjoyed the interview with Fraser Hines, and there's some good questions there as well, you know, like what character would he like to have played? Would he come back? I think there's no doubt that he would come back, and we knew the reasons why he was only briefly in the Five Doctors. But I loved hearing his impersonation of Patrick Troughton. He certainly can do it very well. I know he's done it on other things as well, but that was very, very good indeed. It's interesting as well, seeing the ladies' contribution to it now. I wonder if you could do a ladies-only podcast. Obviously, you could have the lovely Debs on there, and you could have Rachel and Holly. We should have your mum. What a lovely lady she was. I must admit, I really did enjoy hearing her on your podcast, although we're not supposed to plug other podcasts. I can't remember what it's called exactly, but hey-ho, that's life. And, of course, Alicia and Isabella. I mean, Alicia, my goodness. Yes, it makes me glad I haven't got children, actually, but hey, never mind.
Ooh. I'm not saying a thing.
This might go out in the edition where you're reviewing Father's Day. Now, I do remember seeing that one. I think it was a very clever episode, the way you had... really crossing their own time paths, and Billy Piper and Rose and the Doctor seeing Rose and the Doctor, presumably they were seeing Rose and the Doctor at the same time. So I think it really does show the difference a Doctor can make. You know, he goes into other people's lives and can totally turn them upside down, and the effect that other people have when they don't understand the consequences of taking actions. I mean, as Rose there, you know, she wanted to save her father, but couldn't really, because then she wouldn't be the person she was. It's the, you know, if you go back and kill your grandfather, does that mean you don't exist? So, good piece there. Right, I've rambled on for a couple of minutes, 2.5 minutes now, looking at this thing, so I better wrap it soon. Keep up the good work, folks. It's fun listening to you. It's fun talking to you, all of you, on Facebook. Reese, yes, you know, I've dropped in, and Adam, talking about football. And good to see Robert back as well, and Kirby, and there's somebody else whose name I can't remember. You know,
I think he's Adam.
As well, but, and also keep the cricket updates going as well. We've got the third 2020 international tomorrow, so that might play a part in it. And of course, we're off to Sri Lanka, so we'll keep up with that. Anyway, keep up the good work, folks, and speak to you soon. Bye now.
That's my favourite piece of audio feedback ever.
What, even though you couldn't remember your name?
I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I know who I am.
What was your name?
Oh, that was funny.
But firstly, I know what Tiswas is.
Yes.
Let me just say the Phantom Flanflinger.
And also Sylvester McCoy was on Tiswas.
Lenny Henry and Sylvester McCoy, yeah.
Yes,
that's all
before
very true.
He was on Doctor Who, yes, indeed.
I am very aware of that programme.
Sylvester McCoy was on Doctor Who?
Yeah, the thing about Tiswas, this is a time when I wish I had Sky Plus, because when...
Saturday.
Swap Shop and Tiswas were opposite each other. So
Saturday is
Tiswas
Day.
Yes. You used to have to flick from channel to channel. You know, because I wanted to watch both at the same time. You know, obviously,
Tiswas had Swap Shop.
Well, Tiswas had adverts, so you could flick back to Swap Shop.
Did
during
you have
the
a videotape?
No, this was when Tiswas was about 78.
Yeah, 78.
Of course, Chris Tarrant, one of your heroes, Ben.
Ah, yes. Mm. Good morning.
Of course, you featured on the radio with Chris.
we have a footballer named Chris Tarrant.
Do you? Is he
by
blonde?
The way, yeah.
Is he blonde from Reading?
Black hair.
And
black
does he
hair.
Say,
is that your final answer?
We don't want to give you that.
But we don't want to give you that.
£1 million.
Anyway.
Just like he's here in the room with us, isn't it?
Our next bit of feedback is from Mr. Graham Sheridan. And Graham, my daughter's name is Isabella. Isabella.
Here we go. Hello. Adam, Alicia, Isabel, Ben, without Polly. A bit strange. Kirby, Robert, glad you're better now, mate. And, of course, my Pratchett podcast mucker, Rhys.
Hello.
Death, will you? He's gone missing. Anyway, excuse me a second. Oh, no, what now? I mean, what? Ah, yes, well, it seems Alicia is up to her old tricks again, and I'm just keeping watch. If you don't mind, I'll wait over here. What do you mean, old tricks? Well, it looks like she's trying to send her to some sort of hotel. A strange sort of hotel. Would this be a hotel with a sort of Nymon-type preacher inside it? Ah, yes, that's the one. Jamie, pick... Oh, put Victoria down. really? No. Keep that cup of tea away. Oh, no, too late. Jamie... Yes, Jamie, cups of tea. And the impossibility drive. Oh, Victoria really is Victorian. Look at the state of that underwear. Yes, I have tried to introduce her to washing machines, but she still tries to wash it by hand. Anyway, I need to go and go. I'll be back in a bit. Right, now, on my own again. See if this can go right this next time. So, all I wanted to say is... Oh, no. What are you doing here? It's the wrong podcast.
I'm just keeping an eye on things.
I thought you said my lifetime was okay, Death.
It is. There's no problem there.
Well, do you mind if I give some feedback to this Doctor Who podcast, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast?
No, not at all. No... The Doctor is a bit of a strange one.
Oh, so you've met the Doctor as well, have you?
Oh, yes. He confuses me.
In what way?
Well, his lifetimer says he's about to die, and then it refills itself.
That's called rejuvenation, or regeneration, depending on which point of time you're looking at it.
Not reincarnation?
Similar idea, but... Yeah, never mind. Anyway, I need to get on with this.
Don't mind me. I've got a book. Hello, Rhys. We still haven't finished Cripple Mr. Onion.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I need to get on with this. Okay, so... all I wanted to say is...
Are you my mummy?
No, I've told you before. Now go stand in the corner and be a good Cyberman. No, what do you think this is? The 20 megabyte Dr. Poo podcast where everything is interrupted every 5 seconds?
I'm going off to play on MSN or Facebook.
Yes, go text if you like. I don't care. Sorry, Adam. You have an Alicia, I have a Cyberman. Anyway, all I wanted to do is congratulate you on 101 episodes. But you never thought you'd get this far, really. Especially with Interruptus there. And on the other side, there's supposed to be a bit of feedback. Now, okay, Rhys did ask me about questions for Fraser.
I did.
Or Fraser. Or however you want to pronounce his name. Depending on what continent. I'm trying not to stand on people's feet. Yeah, season, series, who cares? Anyway, my point was to Rhys... is that we've heard so many questions repeated time after time after time. And I just want to thank you all, and especially Ben, for pulling questions out of the hat that I basically haven't heard or haven't at least heard too many times on other podcasts. And it was a joy to listen to, if a little bit hard, because, of course, Fraser was on a telephone. So, basically, well done for that. That was probably the best chunk of questions I've ever heard Fraser asked.
Thank you.
Keep it up good work. And like I said, congratulations on 101 podcasts. Who celebrates 100? Honestly. Bye for now.
Thank you, Graham.
Yay. Thank you, Graham.
That's now my favourite piece of feedback ever.
And Death, I'll be back to you on that card game, by the way.
I thought that was very funny. That was very good indeed. And he was quite right. Yes. My questions are.
You should listen to his podcast.
His what?
He does a podcast, a parody podcast of Doctor Who, and he voices Jamie and the Second Doctor and the Tenth Doctor, and it's all like that. It's a lot.
Yeah, as I alluded to last week.
Things like that.
I haven't got time for podcasts.
Also, Kirby, you didn't notice his mistake there.
What about Isabel? Or Isabella?
No.
No, okay.
The infinite in... What is it? In Hitchhiker's infinite improbability
drive. Infinite improbability drive.
He said impossibility drive. I thought you didn't notice that.
I assumed he was just doing that...
To avoid copyright infringement.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, a brilliant Graham. Let's have some more. I haven't had Graham on the show for a long, long time. So it's
that was very, I did enjoy that. That was very good indeed.
Of course, me and Ben did a little... what do they call those? What did I call that little mini-sketch thing? Skit.
That's what she said.
Remember the skit we did the... with Alicia and Graham, Graham's feedback, all married together to create a little mini episode.
Yes.
Do you remember that, Ben?
I have a vague recollection of it.
It's the only time we've ever done any acting on the show.
Yeah, I remember getting the script and reading it, yeah.
And thinking how superb it was.
I remember getting the script and reading it.
Anyway, next bit of feedback is from some chap called Ian Kirk.
Just the two of us, sung by Alicia in the 100th episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, first appeared in 1981 on the album Limelight by Grover Washington Jr. It appeared last year in the film Paul, which starred Simon Pegg, who appeared in the Doctor Who episode The Long Game. Yeah. This is Ian Kirk. Sorry, I thought it was someone else there for a minute. Barbara's Day by Paul Cornell. Paul Cornell also wrote the book Human Nature and turned it into a two-episode story. Yes. The title refers to the day in November that Pete Tyler died, rather than the celebration in June. In the end, Pete Tyler saves the day. There are some lines which only the viewer will fully appreciate. The groom's father at the wedding warns him he will eventually want to turn back time. Pete says to Jackie, trust me, which foreshadows the catchphrase that they'll turn at Pete Tyler. Trust me on this one. Lots of people have been wiped out of existence by the end of the episode. Rose's father sacrifices himself at a wedding and everyone returns. At the end of Series 5, most of the universe have been wiped out of existence. Amy remembers the Doctor at a wedding and everyone returns. Now to digress.
What's that? Recycling ideas.
Douglas Adams was the writer for Doctor Who. He also wrote The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Really?
One of the Hitchhiker characters was an alien who was pretending to be an out-of-work actor from Guildford, but was actually from Betelgeuse. An actress in Doctor Who called Nicola Bryant was pretending to be an American, but was actually from Guildford.
She's got great...
Nicola was the daughter of a Guildford heating engineer. Perhaps that is why she's so hot. I thought I saw an Amy Pond action figure lying on the floor, but I had my glasses on the wrong way round, and I was actually looking to match. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Oh, Ian.
All right. Oh, dear.
Thanks, Ian.
Right, we have one last bit of feedback. This is one I just received, so I haven't been able to listen to this one. So it's the first time I've heard it as well, so... Sorry. I thought you were saying something, Kirby.
I didn't say anything.
Oh.
I just said it could be full of swearing.
Could be. Ooh. Of course, if it is.
What kind of swearing words are you thinking it might be saying?
Bother and botheration. Right then, here we go. This is from Jim the Fish.
This is the Galactic Exchange. You have a message. Establishing a connection now.
The Carpenters. Calling
Jim the Fish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Jim the Fish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Listened to your 100th episode on the Subspace Network. What a fantastic addition, and great interview with Fraser Hines. As your next podcast is number 101, like the television program Room 101, I was wondering if each of you would choose something you don't like from Doctor Who to delete from the series.
Stephen Moffat!
For me, I am tempted to delete the Slovene, but I have gone for the human Dalek from the two-parter, Daleks in Manhattan and Evolution of the Daleks. So what would you 20 megabiters want to remove from Doctor Who? I guess Ben would like to delete Stephen Moffat.
Yes!
If you did that, there would be no Rory, no Amy, no River Song, and no Matt Smith as the Doctor. Would that be worth the price?
Yeah.
Well, no, my space credits are running out, so 20 megabiters, I'll wrap this up. Jim the Fish signing out. Until the next time.
That's now my favorite piece of
feedback. This is the Galactic Exchange. Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Well, that was a very nice surprise, wasn't it? Thank you, Jim the Fish. Right, yeah, so that's a good point. Obviously, are you sticking with that one then, Ben? For Room 101?
Wait. Excuse me.
What was that? Robert!
It's the opposite of the saloon. It's a bird.
Right, it's the microphone. Excuse me. as you were... Sorry,
well, I'd like to point out, it wasn't Stephen Moffat who cast Matt Smith, it was Andy Pryor. So there
that's
would
right.
be
so,
the 11th
so
Doctor,
we can keep
and it would
Matt
be
Smith,
Matt Smith.
Then.
No, it's my job to be pedantic.
Oh, is it? Okay. Ben, is that are you going to keep with the predicted Stephen Moffat as your Room 101 entry?
I think I probably would.
Bearing in mind you've got, like, 48 years of Doctor Who to...
Well, in that case, definitely stick with Stephen Moffat, yeah.
Okay. Right, go on then, Robert. Can you think of anything apart from burps and stuff that you'd probably chuck in Room 101? God, it's unusual. Robert, gone quiet.
This is clearly a tricky...
I don't understand the question.
Well, basically, Room 101... Shut up! Shush!
Get rid of
room, yeah, basically, Room 101.
Magic's just saying he's got rid of K9.
Anything from the history of Doctor Who that you want to delete from
anybody?
Hang on. Shut up!
Sorry.
Sorry.
Don't sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Anything from yeah.
We were talking about you, Ben.
From the history of Doctor Who that you'd like to erase so it never existed.
I watched the Censorites today.
Would that be the one?
Yeah, would you like that?
I'd say the Web Planet, though.
Okay. Right. Web Planet's in the...
really quiet, Adam.
That's because I shouted. Sorry, I'm not quiet at my end, so we should be okay. Can you hear me now?
What?
Can you hear me?
Wait.
Shush.
There you are.
Yes.
You're back.
Yeah.
It's running tides, too.
Right, so we've got Stephen Moffat, we've got the Web Planet, you said, Robert, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Reese, what about you? Reese?
Oh, have to go with the human Dalek from Evolution of the Daleks and Daleks in Manhattan too. That was pretty awful.
Is that what was his name?
Oh yeah, I know what you mean.
Mist or something.
Yeah, that's a stupid name, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can I do mine before I forget? I'd go for the music.
That's what she said.
The music of Dominic Glynn. Who's the other one?
Ooh.
Around that time. Who did the awful theme tune?
Deadly Dudley?
No, the theme tune that followed was in between. The last, Trial of a Time Lord theme tune.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Sorry?
The McCoy theme.
That was awful as well, wasn't it? Mm.
Oh, yes.
But didn't he do both?
That's what she said.
I can't remember who did the theme tune there. I'll tell you
if you're getting rid of music.
It was. I'll just say the theme tune that was the last Colin Baker theme tune, or just Michael Grade in total.
It was Dominic Glynn though.
Is it?
Dominic Glynn did the Trial of the Time Lord series.
Well, I'll just say hit that theme tune, because I absolutely detest that version of the theme tune.
Yeah, but if you watch, you know how people on YouTube, they piece together like the entire theme tunes?
Yeah.
The only one that sounds out of place is the McCoy one. If you listen to them all together, the only one that sounds out different is the McCoy.
Yeah, but the McCoy one was sort of based on the last, is more... I just don't like that one. It's very close, a very close one, but the one that made me most annoyed at the time, and I still don't like, is
Dominic, when he did it, he only had... I think he'd only just got his equipment. No, he'd only just got his equipment and had to rearrange it within a couple of days or something and learn how to use the equipment. So that was his...
I'm not having excuses. I'm sticking that version
that
of theme tune.
That is a really poor excuse. Sorry, if you're not professional enough to actually get the grip to your equipment and have long enough to do something before the deadline date for it, don't bother doing it.
Yeah, that version, I'm still sticking with that, although if you could have people that weren't ever in Doctor Who...
Hello, Clark.
Thank you. I'd go for... I said his name just a minute ago. I'm looking at the goldfish, and I think I'm getting emergencies with this goldfish, because I can't bloody remember what I said. A controller of BBC One in 1987. Yes. If I could, that would outweigh everything. If I could put him in, but I don't think you can, because
I'll tell you what, I've actually thought of something else I might put in instead.
What, instead of Moffat?
Yeah.
Go on, him.
What?
Yeah. The Kyranoid podcast, the Pharos Project, the Amiga podcast, Impossible podcast, DWO Hootcast, Radio Free Skyro, Tin Dog podcast, the Doctor Who podcast, and Doctor Who Podshock. They might get an entry.
Yeah, the trouble is, though, if you put DWO Hootcast in it, we would never resist either, because that was the podcast that inspired me to start up. So I don't know if I'd ever thought of going into podcasting if it weren't for that.
Well, yeah, but if we get rid of 9 and not all 10 of them, that means we're actually therefore at number 2. And
we'll keep the DWO Hootcast. But then, of course, if they would have needed a podcast to start off... What was Podshock? Was a Podshock and Radio Free Skara were the first ones. Well, better keep them two so as DWO Hootcast can start up. And then we could be number 4.
That's totally in line with this week's story, you know?
Yes, it is.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah, it is very good.
That kind of thinking.
Good segue. Right, did we get to Reese's?
That means you're now deciding what I can and can't put into room 101. Okay, if we're going to be like that, Mr. Pearson, we're going to put the first minute of the theme tune that you don't like in. We're going to keep the middle. And the final...
I was only saying what would happen if... Okay, anyway. Reese, did you do yours?
I did.
Oh, go on. Kirby.
I said I'd get rid of it.
A Slovene. At least that version of the Slovene.
That version? What the
farting.
That? But they all fart, don't they?
Yeah.
The one that burped at the microphone.
If they had had Slovene that were menacing without the farting, it would have been great.
Maybe so.
Can I add two things to the thing? That
No.
Okay, I'll add those burps.
Is that it?
Reese.
No, what?
I saw
you. Just two burps. That's all he was adding.
All right. Okay.
No. I got the theme to Doctor Who and the music from the Sea Devils.
The what?
The music from the Sea Devils. He said.
Music. Said
music.
No, but it came out as
music.
That's how it sounded on the show.
Yes. You're getting you've got a strange internet connection. So we've done that. Does that answer your question, Jimmy the Fish? I hope it does. And please, all of you, come back. I was always lovely feedback this week. I did get a little bit more feedback, but it was a brief message on Facebook from somebody called Siobhan Ganeshan. I don't know if you've heard of her. She said, Bugger, missed this. I'm so sorry in relation to...
I thought she was listening to the people who did the podcast.
In relation to episode 100 has been published. And yes, and yeah, she said, bugger, missed this. I'm so sorry. Well, I then said, we are doing 101st episode, hoping that would then, bring some... But at least it's something. Thank you, Siobhan.
Thank you.
So, that's it then.
Are we going to do any news?
Do you want to do news first? And I thought me and Alicia touched on news earlier on, but I couldn't find anything of
Well, what
of
about
notes.
The bit of news says... I just posted on Facebook?
What about Peter Halliday? Yeah.
No.
Sherlock Holmes. What, Sherlock Holmes versus Doctor Who? Benedict Cumberbatch to play the Master of the 50th Anniversary? Yeah. Question mark.
That'd and that's great. On the Radio Times website.
Ooh. Sounds interesting.
What's wrong with John Sim coming back?
Well, bring him back for a regeneration at least.
Might bring him back to do it. He was brilliant.
I agree, but he said he might come back.
No, he changed it.
I think John Sim did say that he may consider coming back to do one more.
Yeah, why change it? He's brilliant at
the moment. I agree.
They could have him regenerate into Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I wouldn't mind that. As long as I have... obviously, he's going to be good either way, Benedict, but I think it would be nice to have some sort of regeneration.
I don't think it's needed.
I agree. But if they set their heart on changing the actor, then they've got to bring John Sim back for one last time.
Well, they might not. They might do a Colin Baker Sylvester McCoy regeneration.
They might do. Hope not.
I'm sorry to say, if they do cast Benedict Cumberbatch, you're just pandering to the fangirls of Sherlock who are listening after him.
Yeah. Agree with you. Totally agree with you.
I agree, cool. But there is a big link between the two shows, unfortunately. But and there will be a crossover. Well, I'd like to see. Is it Martin Freeman? I've always said that in Doctor Who, anyway. So
yeah, he's fantastic.
And that was before he was in Sherlock.
Honestly,
liked him as an actor.
I know you haven't watched it, but the third episode of the second season is fantastic.
I'm glad you went all slow then, because I wouldn't have understood what you were saying because of your strange internet connection. You keep on falling
really
into some sort of, it keeps on falling to some sort of strange ether. But he's still sort of there.
He's calling from the future. That's why it's a problem.
Was that it for the Doctor Who news? Oh, for God's sake.
Who could that be?
Hello?
Hello, can you come pick me up, please? Hello? I need some hairdressing done.
It is, yes.
Oh, it's not. It's not her. It's not the wife.
I am a Silurian calling from the future.
I'm doing a podcast.
You haven't mentioned us in your podcast recently, and I would like a mention now.
Sorry. Okay, well, thank you. Bye.
Sorry.
God's sake.
Who is that?
What?
Why is it? I think it's funny. So these are like the cold callers. They always want to call me exactly at 12:05 in the middle of a podcast for some reason. Somebody from Manchester.
Does that mean we're going on till 1:10 then?
I don't know. Hopefully
it's the middle
not.
Of the podcast. Hey, everyone, it's the middle of the podcast.
Oh, stop it.
Hey.
Yeah, sorry. What were you discussing?
We started late, remember?
Yeah, that was my fault. I thought I was going to start late because I got it into my head, Kirby, that you were going to be on late this morning. Or was that next week?
No. That's in, I think, two more weeks.
I should have read the email properly, shouldn't I?
Oh. Yeah, read the email.
Right, all right.
Send me the email.
We go on summertime. I'd have to look and see when it is.
Okay. Yeah, we do in the end of March.
End of March.
Right.
We don't at all,
and... what it's going to mean is that I'll only be able to give you an hour for 2 weeks until you catch up with
summertime. It's not good enough. I'm sorry. Sorry, that's not what you're contracted for. I beg your pardon, Reese. What does mean?
Yeah. I'd like to
know. I'm hardly doing it deliberately, am I? It's internet.
Reese, I think your internet connection is slower than a Stephen Moffat's
storyyard. Just leave it at Stephen Moffat.
Who, sorry?
Carry on.
Oh my God, what's going on?
Great.
Oh dear, someone sabotaged Reese's internet connection. Right then.
If you've got a bad internet connection, at least you can pretend you're sounding underwater.
Yeah.
That's the proper way to do it.
Anyway, talking of Doctor Who. Yes. Matt Smith was on Top Gear this week.
He was?
Yeah.
Highly entertaining. That was.
Is that still on iPlayer?
Yeah, it was only on last night.
Have you got access to iPlayer then?
If I use a proxy server, yeah. Yep.
You didn't have to say that, but you could have just said yes. It would have sufficed. Yeah, really good episode, that. Even the bits without Matt Smith in it. Yeah, really enjoyable.
I think the thing that irritated me most about the Matt Smith bit is his hair.
Yeah, so he could have put some hairspray on it or something. Just
cut your bloody hair, son. Yeah,
get a cut or use a hair grip.
Yes, yes, yes. I've got a lovely Hello Kitty hair grip upstairs. I'd have quite happy to go next to him. Yeah. He could have worn that. Hey?
Aren't you using that, though, Ben?
No, no, it's my daughter's.
Ah, sure.
She doesn't let me use her hair grips anymore.
Well, apparently Big Finish have got a big an Eighth Doctor sale. This is obviously from last Sunday, but they got a £5 stories from the Eighth Doctor coming up soon.
£5?
Yeah, £5 a story. Or a season price for some reason. It says 8 episodes for £35 instead of 16. Season. Sorry?
It's a heavy. That's a heavy thing.
What else we got here? Obviously, they've started filming Doctor Who, as I alluded to last week. Monday. So there's lots of little snippets and photographs from location shooting appearing, which don't really give anything away, to be honest with you. So they're quite intriguing.
Was that Bad Wolf Bay?
Yeah, I don't know if that was to do with
back there.
Actual recording or somebody who just went to Bad Wolf Bay and took some pictures. I don't think
they were actually filming there.
Oh, they were.
The Dr. Rory and whatever character Arthur Ruth Weasley.
Do you reckon that the because obviously Stephen Moffat's stories are all brand new and not at all borrowed? Do you reckon there's going to be some kind of way that that Amy's written out where she gets put into another dimension?
That'd be funny, wouldn't it?
That
would be funny, wouldn't it? I must admit.
How am I sounding, by the way?
Oh, very beautiful. Very sexy, Reese.
Yeah. Oh, is that why you went away there?
Connection better.
A little bit, yeah. So you're not.
Where's this photo from Bad Wolf Bay then?
But trouble is, Reese, the fact that you're sounding like that is reducing the comedy content of the show. So if you'd like to go back. And I'm only joking, don't go back to how you were. I was only joking.
Sorry, say that again. I missed where the photo was because Adam was
talking. I'll have to find it.
It's on Facebook somewhere, wasn't it?
Is it?
I've seen it several places.
Yeah.
Book of Faces.
There's probably a website that's got all these.
Well, it's on. There's one shot on
Doctor Who spoilers page. Yeah.
Why
Dalek Alvstranden?
Spoilers. Why do people look for spoilers? It's ridiculous. They spoil your enjoyment.
I do not look for spoilers. But
no, they don't.
No, and they also.
Yes, they do. They're called spoilers for a reason.
Yeah. Well, as long as they don't give too much away. Anyway, yeah. This something it says on location recording took place inside a private house in Church Road, Penarth, where I used to live. In Wales. I didn't used to live in Church Road, I used to live in Victoria Square, but this is the areas I used to hang around when I was a teenager. And was dressed to represent Amy Stroke Rory's household, and Arthur Darvill and Karen Gillan were seen on set, as was Mark Williams from the Harry Potter films, who plays the Weasley's dad in the Harry Potter
films. No idea.
He was also in a series called The Farce Show. I'm mostly going to be in The Farce Show. Sorry?
The Fart Show.
The Fast Show.
Is that a Slovene show?
Yes, it's all about the Slovenes.
Yeah.
Dark Star Academy is an audio book thing that's being released with Matt Smith as a Doctor, and Army of One is read by Kai Owen as a Torchwood story. That's coming out on CD.
They really churn them out, don't they?
They certainly do. But there's a big market for this sort of stuff now, audio stuff, funny enough.
Yeah.
The pictures are on DoctorWhoSpoilers.com.
Spoil people.
Yes, well, people have the choice whether to look at them or not.
Well, that's why it's called Doctor Who Spoilers page.
I know, but I choose not to look at them. Other people choose to look at them. It's up to them.
What could I find on DoctorWhoSpoilers.com?
Spoilers.
Really? Oh, I'm not going to look at them.
That's where the pictures are of what looks like filming at Bad Wolf Bay.
Okay.
Dalek Alvstranden.
That's the one.
Same to you.
Well, I'm sure you used to play opposite Dolph Lundgren in some films.
Who did?
Rocky Five. Four. Sorry.
The BBC have released the first promotional photograph with Arthur Darvill, Matt Smith and Karen Gillan wearing a... looks like a QPR shirt, funny enough. Outside a TARDIS.
Arthur's wearing the same shirt.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah. Yeah. What else have we got here? Not a lot, really.
Is that a cat?
There's some...
Oh.
There's T-shirts, isn't there? The Doctor's T-shirts. Forbidden Planet have announced the release of the Nine Doctor costume T-shirt, finally completing their set of exclusive T-shirts representing distinctive costumes of the 11 television Doctors so far. The T-shirt especially is available for pre-order from the March the 30th, and basically it's all the costumes but in the form of a T-shirt, and they look rather good.
Where's that on?
Got to be said. That's on Forbidden Planet. If you look at www.doctorwhonews.net, you'll see all these stories.
You don't need the www.
I know, I'm just saying that. All right. You're not being pedantic by any chance, are you?
Forbidden Planet, is that the one with Leslie Nielsen?
Eh? Sorry?
Yes, that's a good... The
it's
Forbidden
a film
Planet
Leslie
movie.
And one Robbie the Robot. Yes.
A lot of... Yeah, and Planet of Evil was based on the Id Monsters.
Okay, well, there's a new trailer for the forthcoming PlayStation game Doctor Who Eternity Clock, and that's been released by the BBC Worldwide.
PlayStation 3.
Good. And PC.
There you go, Ben.
Yeah, it's a new game for me.
Peace on the Peter Halliday, the passing of Peter
Halliday. Oh, I'm loving those T-shirts.
Packer. They're good, aren't they?
I'm loving them.
I want one of each.
I want
it's about £200 or £300 worth.
Doctor's one.
Yeah.
And I want to get...
What site was that?
DoctorWhoNews.net.
While you're gone all quiet...
$16.99? I'm going to buy all of them.
As I mentioned earlier on the show, Peter Halliday has passed away at the age of 87.
He died.
Proper legends of the show.
Packer.
A stalwart, you can say. It's a shame he didn't get a chance to appear in the new series, but there you go. What else have we got here?
Oh, wow, I'm loving these T-shirts.
They're great, aren't they?
They're brilliant.
It's like a time loop.
It says here, Council is ordered to release Doctor Who records. Tribunal has ordered Cardiff Council to hand over all its records to do with Doctor Who. A request
under these T-shirts.
The Freedom of Information Act was made last year by journalist Christopher Hastings to see all documents between the BBC and Council relating to the series. He also wanted to see complaints about the programme that had been sent to the Council, as well as all the relevant civic correspondences.
They're going to need some sort of truck to move all the letters I've written about Stephen Moffat.
And other public
bodies. I love these T-shirts.
Anybody else love the T-shirts?
I do, but I'm slightly disappointed.
I love them. I can't afford them.
I'm slightly disappointed to see that they only got up to size extra large, which considering the girth of my gut at the moment, probably won't do it justice. Yeah.
Well,
people will walk around if they see me in a T-shirt and go, how come the doctor's put on 14 stones since the last time we saw him?
Well, it'd be all right if you get the six
Colin
doctor
Baker
one.
Colin Baker T-shirt for you, then...
Yes.
No, that still only goes up to extra large. I think I do need a triple XL at the moment.
Right, shall we crack on with the Father's Day, as we were...
But I'm loving these T-shirts.
Oh, shut up.
What T-shirt? Yeah.
Well, Father's Day begins with the girl from the Petit Filou adverts, who apparently is Rose... as a little, the Petit Filou is a little yogurt thing, fromage frais.
Petit Miam.
Yeah.
Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Hey?
I'm going for a fag.
Don't you want to talk about Father's Day?
I've got to say before I go, I'll only be a minute, but firstly, the titles, I love the titles. They're much better than the titles we've got now.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Yes, they are. They are.
Oh, these T-shirts! They're fantastic!
They are.
Anyway, as I was saying, this little girl who is in the From Our Shrey adverts is the little girl, Rose, as she's reminiscing to the doctor about the death of her father.
That little girl get in
she
those...
She's reminiscing with her mum.
Yeah, and then it switches to her...
Reminiscing.
The grown-up one talking to the doctor. Who,
yeah.
So the older Rose is telling the doctor about the stories that her mother used to read to her as a child. So first of all, we see the flashback, which is actually what Rose is telling the doctor, I think. I think that's what they mean by it. But it's interesting to note that the little girl had brown eyes in this particular scene.
Yes.
Whereas later on in the thing... It's truthful. The little girl, had blue eyes.
Yes. I noticed that as well.
Surely they could have cast a brown-eyed baby. I don't know. But I noticed that when watching it originally. Sorry?
Or CG then or something.
My eyes used to be blue and now they're green.
Yeah, but that... But eyes don't change from blue to brown.
No.
Really, as far as I know. I know babies are born with a sort of a crimson colour eye and then they change to brown. But I think the age of the baby that was in this would have had brown eyes. But anyway, that's enough of that. So, there's some... Doesn't Rose then turn up at the wedding between her mum and dad? And she's...
Yeah, they want to look at
the wedding
first,
So
and Pete makes a mistake with
Jackie. Yeah,
with Jackie's name. And she says
just get
if it's good enough for Lady Di.
So this is basically still Rose telling the story to the doctor.
Oh, also,
yes.
Something Ian brought up before is that in The Long Game, they cut the whole bit about Adam worrying about his father.
Yes, yeah.
It would have made a lot more sense if they kept it in there, because even the doctor asked Rose, where does all this come from, all the concern about her father? And it would have made much more sense if they had Adam worrying about his father and then Rose could have started thinking about hers.
He was only arthritis, though. He was only worried about his dad's arthritis, though. It wasn't anything, like, death-wise, so...
Yeah, no, but Rhys is right. It would have segued, is that the right word, into it?
Yes.
You haven't got very far, have you? Blimey, isn't it?
Yeah. It would have, well, yeah, it would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it would have, but it doesn't matter, but it would have been. It would have worked quite nicely. Because then after this, I think Rose sort of suggests that she'd like to have been there at her father's side, just to sort of be someone, so he wasn't alone when he died. So, oh, for God's sake. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello? Oh, sorry, it must be one of those pocket phone calls. I can hear pocket, you know, when someone was walking, you hear this sort of sound of the thigh hitting the phone sort of sound.
There's something in the paper about that today, funny enough. And it says, and it dawned on us that you, dear readers, may have an entertaining story about accidental phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can send into the West Australian Inside Cover, insidecover@wanews.com.au.
Thank you for that. Anyway, so Doctor and Rose then turn up to watch the hit and run on Rose's dad. But of course, Rose freezes and doesn't run.
You can't ignore the Isle of Wight thing.
Yes.
There was an Isle of Wight reference.
Have I missed that? When did he say that?
I was meant to ask you. You know your little shop that you work on? Do you have any bigger shops on the island, or is that the biggest one?
The one I work at?
Yeah.
It's a supermarket, so there's going to be shops smaller than a supermarket, surely.
No, I said bigger. Come on.
Yes. We've got Sainsbury's. Your biggest shop is Tesco's, and right, it's humongous.
So you've actually got big shops
out there? They call those big Tesco's. They've got Tesco's Extra.
Hypermarket.
No, it's got a... Metro, Tesco's Extra. No, Tesco's Extra. That's it. Yeah, it's a huge, huge thing.
Yeah, they do things like that here.
Yeah, it's massive.
Who's currently peddling the static bike to provide your electricity?
I don't know. I really don't know that one. Sorry. We get our electricity from the mainland. Anyway.
Yeah, so we want it back.
This Isle of Wight reference, where was this mentioned?
When they got out of the TARDIS.
The pass is another country. The Isle of Wight, 1987 is just the Isle of Wight.
Right, so I've missed that bit
because you
lot were talking.
I brought that up a week or two ago.
I know you did. Thank you, Kirby. So anyway, the doctor brings Rose back for a second go at this, and this time I love the way she runs past her other self, and then they just sort of stand there and watch her a bit, and then she saves her dad, and then the doctor and Rose just sort of disappear. And then the other doctor looks a bit shocked.
They disappear in a puff of logic.
Yeah. Yeah. So at this point, obviously, trouble's afoot now. So so Rose
game is afoot, Watson.
Rose has saved the doctor. Oh, sorry, her father. Much to the annoyance of the doctor.
The doctor.
Yes.
Right.
So
hey, you know what bit I liked?
What bit did you like?
You know when on the phones.
You are.
Besides the t-shirts, they're pretty good. But you know when they're on the phones and they're getting that first phone call from Alexander Graham Bell?
Oh, that's right, yes.
Here, please.
But that's a little bit of a sort of hint to what happens in the next story, which Alicia refuses to watch.
She's silly. Because everybody lives.
I know, it's true. Yes. She's got it in her mind that it scared the living daylights out of her when she was a young girl.
I love that one.
The quote that they have of the first phone call from the Alexander Graham Bell one is incorrect.
Was it?
And they even mention it in the commentary.
I'm surprised you're bringing that one up, Kirby.
It's not Watson, come here, I need you. It's Watson, come here, I want you.
Okay. Well, it was nice of you to break the habit of a lifetime there.
Also the Bad Wolf reference.
Oh, sir?
The Bad Wolf reference is one of the posters on the wall.
Where they're waiting.
It's the smiley face one that says Energize. There's two of them. The bottom one says Bad Wolf.
Oh, well, thank you for that, because I hadn't spotted that. So I do thank you for pointing that one out. Now, they do go back to her dad's flat. I think it's the... Or is it her flat with her dad living in it? I can't work it out.
No, her dad's.
It is her dad's flat. The doctor's standing there with his arms folded.
It's the same flat. It's the same set. It's been redressed.
Oh, right, yeah. But it's not actually supposed to be the same flat, is it?
Yes.
And you know,
oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. But the doctor's sort of standing there with his arms folded, chastising Rose. That's where he calls her a stupid ape.
Yeah.
He's doing what?
I like the look that he gives her.
He's just standing there with his arms folded. He's sort of giving her a hard time.
Christopher Eccleston is so good with his facial expressions.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've picked another stupid ape is the line. It's quite a famous line, actually.
Did you just call me?
Get your paws off me, you damn stinking ape.
That's what she said.
Yeah, look. Bring up the scene and look at it. It's exactly the same flat. It's got the little pass through from the kitchen and everything.
Cool.
It's just painted weird purple. 80s.
The strange purple color, yeah.
You know what was pretty good as well?
What was pretty good as well?
These t-shirts.
You know how Pete...
The t-shirts. No, go on. Sorry, Robert.
All the stuff that Pete was doing, like the solar energy and the Vita juice, all that kind of stuff. Is kind of stuff that's going on right now, you know, is popular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Pete was really ahead of his time, and yet Jackie's rubbishing him about all his things that he comes up with.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite interesting because he's sort of painted, the character's painted a sort of bit of a lovable rogue, isn't he?
Yeah.
But, as we'll see, as we'll talk about later on, he actually ends up being the hero. Because he has to be brave enough to sacrifice himself for the world to return to normal. But earlier on in the story, you don't get the impression he was that way inclined, that he was, you know, he was out for himself to a certain degree, quite a selfish character, but that proved to be otherwise later on. We get lots of shots of through some weird sort of red filter while people start disappearing. Yeah. People start, and they're throwing down like shears and washing, disappearing from lines and tramps. Bottles of tramp juice are just rolling away into
tramp juice.
Yeah. 2 liter bottles of cider, or as we sell them as 2 liter tramp bottles juice. Of Strongbow and stuff like that. It's called tramp juice because it's really cheap for them to buy, so they can afford to sustain their trampness.
I wasn't quite sure, however, but
ginger wine.
Sorry, Ben.
I wasn't very sure about the musical effects.
What, when they were
played in the red screen moments, you know, basically the sound of someone falling on a keyboard and knocking it off again.
Or maybe the cat just strolling across a keyboard sort of thing, yeah.
It was more of a...
Yeah, it was.
It would have worked if it was proper strings, but it was literally on the keyboard, which was the problem with season one.
Maybe Dominic Glynn
did that probably,
bit.
Yeah, like the new theme tune.
But,
and the one for the Colin Baker thing.
Talking about tramp juice, at work when all the tramp juice is on the bottom shelf.
She said.
No, all the tramp juice is on bottom shelf, and you get they're not necessarily tramps, they're just the town drunks that come in and buy their bottles of cider. So me and Ben, the alcohol bloke, we always shake up these bottles and put them on the bottom shelf.
I don't like being referred to as the alcohol bloke. I might have the occasional drink.
Not you!
I think that's a little bit harsh.
Shush. Sorry, Robert, was it you that was just about... I interrupted when you were just about to say something?
It was me, but
no, sorry.
I'll wait until the section where Rose and Pete are going to the wedding.
Okay.
You're being pedantic again.
Okay. Yes.
Well, the doctor's no. Rose.
I enjoy this story.
The doctor walks off in a huff and heads back to the TARDIS, and
he'll be back in a minute and a half.
Yeah. But he notices something odd going on, which I would have thought, being a Time Lord, would have sort of realised that the fact history had been changed in such a drastic way that he would have hung around and just waited for something to happen. But he seems to be, because he goes into the TARDIS, open the doors up, and basically it's just an empty police box.
Hold on, Adam.
Yes.
You know, later on in the church, when his TARDIS is getting back, he says, "I'll go and fix everything." So it's sort of like insinuating if he can get back to his TARDIS, he can sort everything out. So maybe that's what he was thinking. So maybe. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll
that's my theory.
I'll accept that.
Didn't I see
one.
The scene of the empty police box quite recently? Like Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah, very true.
Reusing ideas, perhaps?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's stop reinforcing Ben's arguments.
New storyline.
It is literally the same idea that Moffat uses all the time.
Fair enough. But what Rose and Pete then head to a wedding, don't they? Because
yes, and we get Rickrolled.
Get what?
Rickrolled. You don't know what Rickrolling is?
I'm sure our listeners don't either.
Actually, a lot of our listeners probably do. There's an internet meme where you are. Someone sends you a link to go to a website where you're supposed to see something, and it gets interrupted by the Rick Astley song, Never Gonna Give You Up.
God, it's like he's in the room.
And that's what's playing on the radio before it gets interrupted. By some sort of rap music.
Excellent. Right, back at the church, the dad, like who looks about the same age as his son, which I thought was quite funny, the dad and the son, they don't look like they were cast correctly, let's say. The
dad's
dad
got a bigger nose than Arthur Darvill.
Yes, but they do not look like, they could be brothers, but not definitely not father and son. But it's his mobile phone prop that I quite like.
Yeah, the break.
Yeah, it's a Nokia,
isn't it?
It's a Motorola. Carry on. Yes, all right. To the later what?
No, when Jackie's going on about Pete, says, "What did you have her when she was 12? When you were 12?
Yeah.
Could have been that situation.
Yes, but no. I do like that the hairstyles and the outfits they've got, because obviously, what time is this actually set? What year?
87.
We were married in 1993, and there's not that much difference in the styles from our wedding photos than there actually in this. To be honest with you, the styles of dress. Yeah?
Never mind, I was...
Oh, sorry, no, this is because we're getting up to the bit now that when the car just starts appearing out of thin air and racing
like
around
that,
the corner. That's on some sort of time loop. But it's also funny that Rose hasn't noticed it's the same car, because obviously it's clearly that sort of... Orange.
She's sitting in the car next to her dad, who's supposed to be dead. I can excuse that.
Yeah, I don't know, but you would have thought she'd notice it. But of course, then we have Rose meeting her mum, and then we get to we're getting closer to the bit where Rose might be touching her baby self with the blue eyes.
Wasn't Jackie nasty? Do you reckon?
Didn't Jackie think that Rose was Pete's bit on the side?
Yes. Yeah.
There's also that awkward scene in his flat where he pretty much just about chats her up.
Yeah. But I think the doctor sort of appears just in the nick of time to stop Rose from actually touching the baby. Mm-hmm. Now, what was the problem with Rose touching the baby? It would
It was a paradox.
But also it enhanced the strength of these parasitical animal things.
You completely skipped.
I haven't
Mickey
skipped. I was just referring to a later part. I skipped little Mickey, who seems
little
to be
Mickey.
A little bit older than
Little Mickey.
I didn't realise that the big Mickey was so much older than Rose.
It's Little Mickey.
I don't think Little Mickey's appeared yet. But then there's a lot of these little bits of sniping between Pete and Jackie, isn't it?
That was sad, wasn't it?
What, the sniping?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I suppose it was, but... But this has made it quite interesting because, obviously, the way that Jackie had always painted Pete to Rose as she grew up was of this...
Yes, yeah.
You know, so it was
perfect dad.
Yeah, so there must have been a bit of guilt there that, you know, they must have had a row just before he died, because that's sort of been sort of picked up in other dramas, isn't it? That, you know, somebody said to somebody, drop dead, and they do, literally. I remember a very early EastEnders storyline that had that happened. Oh. That was when EastEnders was quite good.
Who was that?
What was that?
That was a very long time ago. I think that? Within the first couple of years, there was a nurse character, a bloke, Scottish nurse character.
Oh, Andy.
Andy, that's it. And
Andy was going.
They had a row, and she said to him, "Oh, drop dead."
Rory.
Sorry?
I thought the nurse was Rory.
No. Well, she said to him, "Drop dead," and he goes out and he saves a little kid from getting run over by a great big truck.
Sounds like Rory.
And gets run over himself.
Sounds like Rory.
Yeah. Good way to memorable ending, because obviously there's not a lot of EastEnders endings that stick in the mind, but that one did.
I think what you've got to point out as well at this point is that obviously, as we just said, Jackie's feeling quite guilty in the way she talks to Rose about Pete.
Yeah.
Because obviously we see that she's not very nice to him, and he might not be as lovable as Rose was hoping.
Yeah.
But I think the point we need to make out there is, women, be nice to your husbands.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. It was true, you know.
No, absolutely, it is totally.
And likewise,
be careful when throwing laptops against walls.
Yeah, but I was out of the house when that laptop.
And also, if you're on the way to a wedding, don't stop off and buy bars.
Adam, yes? I've got a suggestion for you.
Oh God, yes.
When you're not at home,
Hide
the laptop.
No, I think she's realised that we actually do need to use the laptops for her internet shopping. So
for other purposes,
yeah, and we needed it for the bridal shows we do. We do actually need the laptops, because we had a problem yesterday when I couldn't get the laptop to link up to the monitor, the one she broke, that is, to display our sort of portfolio of screenshots from the videos we film. But the reason we found out later, the reason why it wouldn't link up, because it was in the middle of doing Windows updates and it won't link up to the monitor during that. But fortunately, it did eventually clear that and it did link up, so all was saved. But there was a stressful moment while that, because I didn't say to her, well, if you hadn't broken it in the first place, we wouldn't have this problem. But I could have.
See, I would have done.
If the tables were turned, I'm sure that would have happened.
Time to update.
Sorry?
What an inopportune time to update.
Yeah, no, that's right. Don't know why.
Microsoft
Adam,
tends to do that.
Yes, yes, Ben.
Yes.
Have you got any more anecdotes?
No.
Back to Doctor Who.
Back to Doctor Who. Rose gets scared by one of these creatures that look quite similar to those batty-type creatures that were in School Union.
Krillotine.
Yeah, very similar-looking animals.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Reapers.
Oh, they're called Reapers. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
Yes.
But they're not called such in the episode, but they
were so new. I only saw that in the subtitles.
In the subtitles. Huh? Was they called?
Yeah, it said Reaper screaming or something, screeching, it says.
Yeah, Reapers is what they were.
Yeah.
You know, they were Reapers.
Yeah.
I like the way they ate Peter. People.
Hey guys, what were those monsters in this episode?
Reapers.
Oh,
Rapers.
But because when they obviously the Doctor decides that they're all safe in the church for the time being, because it's such an old building and it's old thing. The older it is, the safer it is. And Rose then realises that it's all her fault, that all this is sort of unfolding.
That's a really good advertising campaign for. How do I put this politely? Older people's. Contraception.
What?
Safer it is.
Anyway. Of course, this is also that time when the Doctor borrows the mobile phone. Yeah. And we hear Alexander Graham Bell. Well, he hears Alexander Graham Bell at the other end of it.
I like that bit.
Mm. I got a sense, some of the views of the neighborhood with like the shoe and stuff and the toys after the Reapers have taken all the kids and stuff. That reminded me of the shot at the very beginning of the first episode of Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched Invasion of the Dinosaurs for a while, so you're probably right. When you said it, it also reminded me of...
28 Days Later.
I think there was a Sarah Jane episode where this sort of thing happened. That's right.
Oh,
when
yes.
Clyde...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was only Clyde and Rani around, and they were walking around the place and finding everything had disappeared.
To get the Invasion of the Dinosaurs, the one that just came out a couple of months ago.
I have it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Thank you, Robert. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I saw that.
So, yes, I think there's a point that Pete overhears the Doctor talking to Rose, and the penny starts dropping in his mind. You can see an expression on his face. He's starting to realise
Mills has joined us.
Pardon?
Mills has joined us.
Who?
The penny starts dropping.
Oh. Okay.
Leave the jokes to me.
St. Mills has joined us.
Tumbleweeds roll by.
That was hardly as tenuous as Kirby's thing about the planet of the dinosaurs or whatever. The invasion of the dinosaurs.
Invasion of the dinosaurs.
But there's
a bit where Pete and Rose are together and they have this conversation, and Pete realises somehow, doesn't he, that Rose is his?
Yeah.
His daughter. Yeah. Beautiful scene.
And they have that love. That touching scene.
Did you get your tissues out?
No, but it was...
Yeah, but that's only because Rose Tyler was on screen.
It's the same thing. I haven't been caring.
I think... sorry, but Robert's got to get some credit for leading you into that gag. Anyway, God's sake.
But you know when she calls him Daddy... that sort of makes it like she's still that little girl missing her.
But she obviously would have dreamt of with her dad being dead, wished to be able to do what she did, put her arms around him and hug him, and it was just all round a beautiful scene, beautifully done.
But and also the way she's saying about beautiful. Like what did he do in the future? Do you remember he's going through? What am I grey? Oh no, I'm bald. No. But it was just, the way he's slowly sort of realizing through then. And she's sort of painting him as such a lovely picture. He takes him out on picnics on Saturdays, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, and he said, that's not me, didn't he?
Yeah.
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 The most touching line of it all was when she just looked at him and said, but you're my daddy.
Yeah. It's so beautifully played. I mean, this is, Billy Piper was just really... on top form for this series, and it really.
Billy Piper said that this was her favorite episode too.
I'm really not surprised. No. It was,
And also, she said that she heard that Chris Eccleston said it was his favorite.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And I must just say as well that last week, what was it, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? That was the day here, whatever day it was in Australia. I've got no idea. But Reese put on Facebook, he just watched it and shed a little tear as he watched it, and I mocked him. And then as I watched it last night, I had a little tear at that point as well.
Same thing happened with me.
You tart.
That's because I have two daughters, and it kind of like, you made you... Make,
I have three daughters.
I have two.
All right, it's not a competition.
I've got two.
I have three cats.
And two dogs. Does that count?
I've got three dogs.
And a lovely wife. Guys.
Oh, you've got a lovely wife. Right. Where'd you get them from?
Beautiful.
Oh.
Sorry, where was I?
Oh, what?
Father's Day. Yes. Anyway. You're saying about it being the actor's favourite episode. I must say, I spoke to Alicia about it earlier on in the show, and she initially said it's one of the best ones. And I said, what do you think about it? And she said, it was a bit boring. Maybe because she can't probably relate to the sentiment in it.
Now,
where she's young,
one thing I find interesting is I love this episode, but I've only watched it twice.
Really?
Because it is so emotional.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like that with The Girl Who Waited. It's amazing, but I can only watch it a few times.
Yeah, I've only seen that a couple of times, I think, Girl Who Waited. I'm looking forward to seeing it again. But this Father's Day is one that I can watch over and over again without getting bored of it. And, you know, it's a lovely, lovely story and simple.
It shows it's there's a mix of stories in the first... in the Christopher Eccleston year or Christopher Eccleston week because he's only in it for a little while.
Yeah.
You get the Sabine story, which is very much for kids, and it's running down hallways trying to scare them. And this one's definitely for the adults or the older people in the audience. And it's just a nice mix of...
Well, the monsters will be there to for the kids, wouldn't
they? Yeah, they're
for
the kids. And also the sort of situation, that the siege situation they're in inside the church, where all, you know, they're sort of inside, they can't get out. Because obviously they get
base under siege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's the sort of thing that might appeal to children. Of course, we do see the TARDIS key earlier on, don't we? They do sort of make a point of showing it, because so they can show it again, because it starts glowing, doesn't it, while they're in the church. Now, something similar to that happen when the key materialised in the Doctor's hand in the 11th Hour?
Yes.
Got it out of his pocket, but yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But there was it was a similar thing. It reminded me of that.
Yeah.
I wonder where Stephen Moffat got that idea from. I wonder if he's watched any of these stories.
He's paying homage to.
Oh, is he? Oh, well, that's what they call it. Some cynical people might call that ripping off. But yes, paying
homage. I call it ripping off.
Back of ideas. Oh, it worked before. Let's copy
Should
it.
Move on.
Well, that's what I've been saying for the last two series, but no one's paying any attention to my claims.
That's what she said.
Anyway, so I've got to mention, obviously, during this siege in the church, they do have a peek out. Well, the Doctor peeks out the window and sees that car again. You know, sort of
the peek at what?
The peeks out the window of the church and sees the car sort of just appearing, going round the corner and disappearing again.
A quick glance, a look.
Oh,
a shifting.
Lovely, thank you very much.
Glance.
I tell you what, though, in this story, there's a lot of one-on-one scenes. They've got the Doctor and Rose and Pete,
really?
Pete and Jackie. Yeah. There's lots of these little sort of relationship scenes, which RTD is very well known for putting together. But obviously, this is a Paul Cornell story. And then I can move back to my mentioning of the key, which appears on the floor of the church. And the Doctor takes his jacket off. That's right. And I remember Alicia saying, "Oh, he's got a green jumper on." And picks up the thing. When I watched this first time round, I was really impressed when the TARDIS started materialising. It looked like a glass thing. Did they make a glass TARDIS, or was that completely CGI'd? I think it was CGI.
Yes, it was CGI.
It looked superb. Yeah. It looked really good. And it makes you think that if they could have actually, when they brought Doctor Who back, made the materialisation look like that every time, that'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
It'll take bloody ages.
Overplay the budget.
I know, maybe so. But, yeah, it's... And I always love to do this, like, sort of zooming up the aisle thing while...
But, you know, it was good, though, but with the TARDIS, you think that that's going to be the saviour, and then suddenly that suddenly the ring comes in, and then it drops. I just thought that was a good plot point as well.
Yeah.
You should have seen my reaction at 11 years old, seeing this episode for the first time when the Doctor got eaten. I just went, what?
That was great.
Get inside the church because Rose touches herself.
I beg your
pardon? Yes.
That's what I said.
That's
a good answer.
Have you never seen have you ever seen Billy Piper's other series, The Diary of a Cool Girl?
Right,
yeah, tissues at the ready. I mean, seriously.
There's some very touching plot threads there, isn't there?
Oh, seriously. The video I was watching last night, yeah.
Hello.
Somebody help me. I'm completely sorry.
All right, I'll send you the DVD if you want.
No.
I'm sorry, I think I've just completely got the wrong end of that thread. I'm sorry about that. When you said she touched him, I get you, sorry. Yeah, she's touching herself.
It was a nice image there.
Touch the younger self.
That just sounds even worse.
Now that does sound a lot worse.
Anyway, back to the story.
Rose was touching herself.
The Doctor, the key, It's sort of hovering in midair, doesn't it, when the TARDIS starts to materialise around it.
Yeah.
And like I say, it does look absolutely superb.
And they've got the regeneration glowing effect on it.
Oh, yeah. But the Doctor's like hopping around like some sort of maniac, and it's just...
Yeah, because he runs behind the TARDIS.
Yeah.
He goes to the pulpit quite often, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, and then he preaches to them that he'll save them all. yeah. Everybody be fine.
Quite iconic, actually.
Yeah. It's the next episode.
And meanwhile, the car is still going around the church, appearing and disappearing. And
this guy's getting scared 100 times. He puts his arm up as if he's going to hit Pete again, and he's, he always reacts.
Yeah. But
imagine the heart attack you get from that.
Yeah. But there's a point, I think, Pete sort of looks out there and sees the car, doesn't it? And doesn't that help him to realise what he needs to do?
Yeah. He sees it out the window and he kind of has this.
The doctor tells him to ignore it.
Yeah, why did he do that, I wonder?
Well, because as he says later on, the doctor worked it out a long time ago. He just didn't want to say anything because he wanted to protect you.
Oh, fair enough. So,
well, let me just say I love this episode, and that's it. I'm going to have to say bye.
Okay, you love the episode of the podcast. Well, what about the episode of Doctor Who we're talking about? And obviously, I know you love the show. I know you love the episode 101. But...
So next week we're doing both Empty Child and Doctor Dances.
At night.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, watch it at night. Late at night, Kirby. I know you do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the episode.
Yeah, I was watching Father's Day about 8 hours ago. I think I finished it up.
Are you my
So
mommy?
Was I.
What about the episode?
Oh, God. I watched
Anyway, thank you, Kirby. And,
have a good day,
you.
Kirby.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
He's gone.
So anyway, Pete is has another very moving scene. It's quite a lot of moving scenes in this story. While he says goodbye to Rose, and this is when Jackie realizes.
Didn't see any moving.
That Rose isn't quite
everybody
who.
Everybody stayed in the same house. So.
Oh, be quiet. Yeah. And is this the bit where Jackie then realizes that's the grown-up Rose?
Yes.
And believes it very easily, but I don't care because it's such a lovely scene again. So they all have their goodbyes, really, because Pete's just about to go out and sacrifice himself.
And remember, there was an important plot point as well, that once everything repaired itself, they'd forget that day anyway. So.
Really? Where did it say that? I missed that plot point.
No. There was something like that.
No, he didn't say that. The doctor said that.
That's why Jackie didn't recognise Rose as a blonde lady who was with.
So it's time fixing itself in some ways, made sense, I suppose.
Don't forget the really. After you had all the Pete turning up, going up to Rose and saying, look, I've realised what I've got to do, blah, 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 I'm going out there. And then Rose gives him the vase, which I thought was really.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. And that's good attention to detail, isn't it? That particular sort of thing.
And because then they cut back to Jackie on the bed with the young Rose.
Really?
Yeah.
and you know, she's saying, and there was this girl who stayed with her while he died.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, rather than saying
that explains that time. Just,
yeah, but
everyone forgets.
But she didn't forget the girl with him when she died, though. She forgets
She forgets it's Rose. Who,
yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Right. Okay. No, okay. Fair enough.
She doesn't know.
But Rose does remember it, doesn't she? Because of the TARDIS.
Of course she does.
Yes.
There. But if you remember right earlier on right at the beginning of the episode, Jackie was saying how there was no one there when he died and he was already dead by the
Turned up. Oh, fair enough.
And then in obviously the latter story, there was this blonde girl with him, so at least someone was with him when he died.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, so that's the only bit that in sort of that was changed really out of that part of history. Not enough to...
But the surely that must have had more effect. What about the butterfly effects?
Yes.
What's the butterfly effect?
Has anybody seen that? They're saying if a butterfly flaps its wings in China, it will have repercussions around the world. It will slowly, like that butterfly will affect a plant growing or something. The plant will affect the farmer's crops or something. And then the crops will mean that somebody doesn't eat. There'll be a famine. You know, it's like that sort of spreading out.
Yeah.
It's like that episode of The Simpsons where Homer's got a time machine as a toaster.
Yes.
Goes back in time and treads one plant. He
he comes back and everyone's...
There's a big difference at the end of this episode. You know, when, obviously, Pete's been run over and the Doctor says to Rose for the third time, go to him. And she does this time. Yeah. You know. But the bloke... Yeah. Originally, obviously, the bloke who runs him over drives off as a hit and run, but in this instance, he's actually stopped.
Stays, yeah,
and he's standing
and
there.
And he faced...
Yeah. Which, you know, he had the... What got me was he had the... It's in exactly the same spot, wasn't it, I think, where he gets killed. But he had the opportunity of driving off. Was
no.
Well, why was the car... Why was the car going... Hey?
The first time they're outside... actually, the first time... They're at the same place where the TARDIS rematerializes in episode 13 after the Doctor sends Rose back from space satellite 5 or whatever it was. Oh. Yeah, it's exactly the same road.
And the
bit where, you know, where they're trying to get the doors open and Mickey's got that great big tow truck.
Right. Yeah.
That's where he dies to start with. Yeah. But then when he the second time he dies, it's just outside the church.
So basically the car is following Pete. So wherever Pete would have been, the car would have...
Yeah,
I've got you. Okay, fair enough.
Death is catching up to
He actually said that. The car's following him.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's just a bit, you know, I couldn't understand what would have changed it so the bloke wouldn't still be in hit and run, still wouldn't drive off. Doesn't really matter, but that's what you know. I couldn't understand.
Because it was outside a church.
Was it? Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter,
because
really.
Because he pretended hitting him so many times, he thought this time he might as well get out to have a look, see what he's hit.
But to sum up, it's a work of art, this story, and it deserves the accolades it's always had. And
one of the best.
Yeah, and Alicia will, when she becomes a parent, will learn to appreciate it.
Doctor Who.
Sorry, Rhys.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Adam, I'm not being funny, but I think that has a hell of a lot of emotional attachment when you watch this episode, if you're a parent.
Yes.
Because, you know, that's what got me with Blubby, was, you know, the whole bit about, but you're my daddy, and thinking about my little girls and that. Just,
well, you know what, Ben? What gets me Blubby is when I listen to the song You're My Best Friend by Queen, just listen to the lyrics of the song, and I listened to that with Alicia in the back of the car once, and I proper filled up because I was thinking of her, and with that song has quite a sort of link to both of us. We both think the same when we hear that song, probably because I did tell her at the time that it means quite a lot to me, because it's the same with Isabella, because Isabella wasn't around when that happened, but you know, they are my best friends, and so is Deb, and that's the one that gets my sort of tears going when I think about it. So I try not to listen to it at best of times, especially if I'm in a group of people. But you're right.
My best friend's called Adam, who forgot my birthday. Not you.
But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
I don't think of him when I do that song.
No. But yeah, I mean, that is the thing for this one. It is for the parents. It certainly would. I'm pretty sure Deb shed a tear when she watched it, but it doesn't take a lot to get her to shed tears during the programme.
As well as all the fantastic emotional stuff, the brilliant script writing, acting and all that kind of stuff, there was also one bit of genius comedy which we completely failed to mention.
Yes,
and that is when the Reapers first appear and the Doctor's running... Oh,
goodness me.
That's very comedy for you.
It's when the clock went off.
When the Reapers first appear, and the Doctor's running back down the street shouting, get in the church, to everybody.
Yeah.
And then the Reapers kind of like, rah! Thing above people, and they do it above a couple of people, and then they do it above the bride, who screams back, rah! And the Reaper flies off.
Yeah, well done. I didn't spot that, but that is good.
Billy Piper let out a scream.
It's lovely, you know, when you know you've got to watch a story like this in one of these, you know, review series that these podcasts like us do. And it was something I was really looking forward to doing. And I'm looking forward, in a way, to watching the next story, because I'm not often allowed to watch it because Alicia's too scared of it. And, you know, I used to use it if she was naughty, but if you don't behave yourself, I will play this story, you know. All I had to do was like play the opening bit where you first get the "Are you my mummy?" and then that was it for her.
Are you
know?
My mummy?
Yeah. So yeah, looking forward to that next week.
And then the reuse of ideas of hearing things over headphones and stuff like that, speakers.
Are you dissing them off?
No.
That's right.
Oh
no!
Completely original.
I wouldn't do anything.
There's nothing wrong with this story.
It's an effective device.
No, this story is it's great. It's a really good story. I'm looking forward
to it.
I loved Pete's line.
The only thing that...
Oh, and John Barrowman. Doesn't he look young in this?
Well, he is young.
He does, very young.
Years ago, but carry on, Ben.
Back to Rose. Obviously, they do say in the piece that once the wrong has been righted, i.e. Pete dying, then things will all go back to normal.
Yeah.
But how does the TARDIS materialise across the street from the church?
Yeah, that's what I wonder. And,
I mean, to be fair, Matt Smith did say on Top Gear last night, never apply logic to Doctor Who.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Yes.
Which is a very good line to use, actually, because it's the one
especially
way
under Moffat.
Yeah. Especially under Moffat. Don't apply new storylines to Doctor Who, either.
Moffat had nothing to do with that story.
Don't come up with anything original. But yeah, how does the TARDIS materialise across the street?
Well,
when
I think of the Doctor's wife. She takes him where he needs to go. She just goes where she needs to be, which is across the street.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's applied retroactively, though.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. We've always said that. It's just confirmed in the show.
Okay. I would accept that. That's a very good answer, Reese. Yeah.
Yeah. Hands up. One to Reese. Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Anyway,
I have one whole point.
Before I finish the show, I just wanted to. It's got nothing to do with Doctor Who. Oh, no, you can carry on a set. I just want to say this. Don't get off. You've still got things to say. That's fine. I just need to say. On Twitter, Boy George, nothing to do with Doctor Who, but nevertheless, Boy George tweeted the other day, I just chanted over our lottery ticket, to which I tweeted back.
You what?
Eh? Didn't say
he did what?
Tweeted. It's what you do on Twitter.
Tweeted back.
Yeah. Oh, no. He wanted over his lottery ticket?
Chanted. Yeah. He chanted over his lottery
chanted.
Ticket.
Chanted?
Yeah. Oh, so I tweeted back, Boy George, did you chant Karma Chameleon?
Oh, goodness.
That, did he repeat?
That is a bad pun.
He retweeted it. Boy George retweeted it. So I'm quite pleased about that.
Did he not reply with the word, with the two-word answer that the second word is off?
No, he retweeted it. You must have liked it if he retweeted
back.
It. So.
Three things I need to say about this episode.
Back to Billy Piper.
Yes.
Sorry.
Firstly, this will mean not a lot to people. Well, I don't know, actually. But the Lannan Flag pub, which
is mentioned.
They refer to in the episode.
About the people who didn't come, to the wedding.
Pardon?
No, they hadn't arrived. Race.
Stop interrupting, Ben.
Yes, indeed. it's the name of the pub from the sitcom Bottom.
Ah, is it? That's with Rick Mayall and
And Ed Edmondson. Yeah,
Ed Edmondson.
I thought was quite amazing.
Okay. Anything else?
Secondly,
yes.
When when they're getting that message
Who's
back to the mobile phone?
Wikipedia pub? Now.
Ah, well, actually, I knew that one about Bottom anyway, because I love Bottom. Brilliant program. This one is off Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Not magic.
When time is damaged, one of the effects that the mobile phones all begin to repeat the message, Watson, come here, I need you. When actually, the official message that was sent was, Watson, come here, I want you.
Kirby said that.
But was Ben having a fag at the time?
Probably.
Yeah.
And thirdly,
yeah.
Rose obviously calls Pete a bit of a Del Boy. And this is brilliant. I love this one. Obviously, Del Boy referring to the character from Only Fools and Horses. And Sean Dingwall, who was obviously playing Pete, then went on to play Reg Trotter, the father of Del Boy, in the Only Fools and Horses prequel, Rock and Chips.
Okay. Right, before I forget, if you want to send in audio like the seven people did.
So well. For that.
Sorry.
It's all...
Brilliant. Well done. If you want to send in feedback, any form of feedback, We want as much as we can get because we love feedback. Don't we, everybody?
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's send audio feedback.
Audio feedback's fantastic.
You might become my favourite.
Yeah.
You might become my favourite audio feedback piece.
Exactly. And it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Stop laughing over my feedback address. 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And, of course, join our Facebook group. Become the 109th member of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. And, of course, if you should
look at... We have 8 more members and episodes that we've done.
Yeah. And show notes, obviously, on this show do list all the relevant addresses. So,
including your grammatical errors.
Yeah, well, that's only there for that. Those are only there for people to be
pedantic
about.
People.
Yeah, that really. I've got to make the dog's dinner. That's unusual, isn't it?
Oi.
Yes.
Hey, I've got to make a casserole.
Have you? How do you make a casserole? Yeah. Push it down a hill.
Push it down a hill.
Oh, goodness.
Sounds like Stephen Moffat Doctor Who script. Bad.
Yeah, so, yeah. Excellent stuff.
Are we trying to say something for a couple of minutes?
Oh, go on then. Who is a Man podcast?
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I think these T-shirts are really cool. No, I think Paul Cornell is
a fantastic
writer for Doctor Who, and I think that maybe he could follow Stephen Moffat as
showrunner,
next producer.
Well, he is a producer, yeah, but sure. Then so is Toby Whithouse. He's a producer as well. So, you know, it could be any of them could do it, really, couldn't they? I don't know if Gatiss is a series producer. Cornell.
He has awful teeth.
But fortunately, he doesn't get to appear on Doctor Who, so his awful teeth don't really matter.
Yeah. And he can't talk without moving his hands, apparently.
Especially now they've
cancelled. Can't speak.
Yeah. Especially now they've cancelled Doctor Who Confidential. But anyway.
It was a big mistake.
It was.
As we said at the time, I'm still annoyed about that because the amount of money that would have cost to make relative to lots of other TV shows is minimal.
Indeed.
Yeah. You could take Big Brother away and
different networks, as you would say. But
anyway, we'll have to save this argument for another day because...
I've got to go and do my casserole anyway, so probably be a good time to go.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Yeah,
do some sleeping.
Look forward to next week and hopefully start at a bang on time instead of 15 minutes late that we did this week.
Bang on.
Yes, Adam.
I'll have my equipment ready.
He started early. Didn't you, Adam?
I did, but it just didn't quite work out that way. Never mind. Plans sometimes don't work out. 102 next week, and look forward to it. And thank you for joining us. And next week is The Empty Child and Doctor Dances. Bye.
Oh, yeah.
Are you my mummy?
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
No, I'm not. Bye. Bye. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down. Never gonna run around and desert you.
Is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.